Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's Steve at AGLCA Homeport. We also have our usual list of suspects from the Homeport crew, and Beth is on, and Janice is on, and Roger is on. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
And our guest today is John Calciabetta. Is that right, John?
Well, you're almost good. Calciabetta.
Calciabetta. Okay, Calciabetta. And John is from the Great Kills Yacht Club, and Great Kills offers AGLCA members passing through overnight dockage for a fee, but they don't normally take transients, and they make an exception for AGLCA members. Anybody that has ever stayed there, as far as I know, raves about the place. So if you're up in the area and you'd like to stop in on Staten Island, give John a call. He's in the directory, and he'll make arrangements for you. Feel free to call in. John will be very happy to take questions. And the toll-free number to call in on is 877-497-1815. John, why don't we start with the trip from Sandy Hook to Staten Island and what's involved and what's interesting to see, and take it from there.
Okay, Steve. Good morning to everybody and all of you out there in radio land, I guess. The trip, for most people who are coming up the Jersey coast, whether they've done part of the Jersey Intracoastal and coming out of Manasquan or they're coming out of Atlantic City, when you get up to Sandy Hook, it's kind of making a decision. There are a number of places in Sandy Hook and in the Atlantic Highlands that I would say are worth looking at and worth visiting, depending upon your schedule. There are a couple of interesting anchorages inside Sandy Hook, if that's your thing. Horseshoe Cove can be a very busy anchorage with families swimming and whatever on weekends, but during the week it's a rather secluded kind of place. Other thoughts that people might want to do, again, depending on your time, there are the rivers, the Shrewsbury and Navesink River, as you go up to the Atlantic Highlands, are a nice little side day trip. There aren't a lot of facilities up there to stay at. There are a couple all the way up to Navesink, but you might. It's worth a nice trip if you're going to be in an anchorage. It's a very pretty place to go. Coming out of there, coming out of Sandy Hook or that area, you pass and you would see a very large naval munitions depot in Earl, New Jersey. And very often there are very large ships in there that are loading and unloading, I guess, those various things. If we have any more missiles or ammunition left after everybody that we're throwing it at, right? And again, then, I guess to a newcomer coming around Sandy Hook or coming to the point of Sandy Hook, you'd be looking at any number of large boat channels, not only Sandy Hook Channel, but looking beyond that to Ambrose Channel, and there's a Swash Channel and a whatever, all of which are large boat channels. And really there's no necessity for someone to, for the most part, to stay in those channels after they round the hook. You can see where the water is, and you can see there's plenty, and you're dealing outside of the channels with 20, 25 feet of water.
John,
pretty much all the way into Staten Island.
John?
Yep.
When you said large boat channels, I presume you mean container ships and tankers? And
container ships, tankers, yes. There are
okay.
Barges. The Sandy Hook Channel, large container ships and large tankers of all sorts come around Sandy Hook from outside. Rather than that are not going up to New York Harbor, they take this, what's called the Raritan Reach Channel, after they round Sandy Hook and make their way around the back of Staten Island, between New Jersey and Staten Island, and in the Kill Van Cull. By the way, Steve, that's one of the interesting questions that almost all loopers. What's going on? What is this Kill? What is Kill Van Cull? on fresh kills and great kills. And the best knowledge, it goes back to old Dutch words that means small bodies of waters. It could be a river or a stream or, you know, a small bay or something like that. But it's a little nugget of knowledge for your listeners. And it's, maybe one day it'll, you know, on Jeopardy, that'll be an answer that they'll have.
Well, as long as you went that far, why don't you tell them how Staten Island got its name?
Oh, you really don't want me to do that.
Sure.
But, you know, when
sure
Henry Hudson and the Dutch made their way up the New York Harbor, Henry Hudson was known to say, look to his side, you know, to port as he was coming in at this wooded, all these trees and whatever on land there. And he said to one of his navigator, I guess, Ish Staten Island? That's as bad a story as I'm going to, you know, say, and you know, with anybody listening, Steve.
Well, I used to hear that about once a month when I was growing up, so I still get a chuckle out of it.
Okay.
Don't take this wrong, but when would it be? Why would it be appropriate for somebody to take a little side trip to Staten Island?
Well, again, I think that's what I tell most. Most people who call me and say, do we want to stay there? In my mind, the best way is if you're going to spend a few days. If you want to spend some time and in Manhattan, you want to go to the city, or you want to take in a show, or you want to do a tour of Manhattan, you're not just going to make your way through New York Harbor. Staten Island is a very, very attractive alternative, in my mind, to staying in some place like Newport Harbor or Liberty Landing or somewhere on the Jersey side. There is a, you know, from a financial point of view and from a place to come back after a day of running around in the city and just wanting to put your feet up and sit and look and being in a rather pleasant surroundings, then that would be an appropriate time to get to Staten Island.
How do you get to New York from here?
Well, there are three methods of transportation. Really, one block from any of the clubs, not just Great Guild Yacht Club. There are a number of other facilities in the harbor who are, you know, ways that you can do it, and not just be in Great Guild Yacht Club. But it's a one-block walk from our place to a bus stop. And that express bus, maybe a bit of a misnomer because it stops a number of times. It doesn't become an express until it gets to the Verrazano Bridge. But it's about an hour's ride into the city, and it would take you downtown to Ground Zero, or up to Rockefeller Center, or up to 42nd Street, up to Midtown. You know, it drops. It goes all the way up pretty much the west side of Manhattan. You also, about a little less than a mile walk, someone can connect to get on a train, what we call a rapid transit. Again, very much a misnomer, an oxymoron with that train. And that would connect you with the Staten Island Ferry, the fabled Staten Island Ferry, and you can take that train to there and ride it and be downtown Manhattan, get it, you know, take one of those, the Battery Park ferries over to the Statue of Liberty or Ellis Island or whatever, if that's your thing, or just take some tours from there. And there is also a bus, it's a one-block walk up to a bus, which is a little longer trip than the train to take you and connects to the Staten Island Ferry as well. All of these are through areas that are not like maybe the stereotype that people think about public transportation in New York City. It's very safe and very, there's no concerns that we have either in the Great Guilds area or in most of the areas on Staten Island.
John, do I remember correctly that the Staten Island Ferry is free?
Yes. Yeah, you connect from the train. The train takes you to the ferry, and it's like a 50 cents amount to, you know, for that train. The express bus into Manhattan is $5 with senior discounts or something else again. But to my knowledge, it may be a little longer than taking a ferry, a fast ferry from the Jersey side, either Newport or Liberty Landing or whatever. But I honestly, Steve, I don't know what those prices are these days.
Yeah, I always remember, for those listening that don't know this, Janice and I both grew up in New York, so talking with John, things come up. But I can remember, like Sundays sometimes, a bunch of us would go down and ride the Staten Island Ferry basically all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a nickel each way at that point. But
yeah, and then it went up to a quarter.
Yeah,
and and then they did away with that. But for someone who's turned around and say, okay, let me get a feel for what it's going to be like when I make this left turn out of Staten Great Hills and I go under the bridge into this New York Harbor that I've heard so many terrible things about, it may be a nice alternative on a nice day. And we've had all manners of loopers. I think last year we probably had 40. I think about 40 or 45 that stopped
yeah.
in, Steve. And most of them were going to spend a few days. Those who were just going to spend the one day, I counsel them when I talk to them is, look, make your run from the hook if you're intending to go and you want to anchor by the Statue of Liberty, well, then do your thing that way. It's like it may be a 12-mile detour. By the time you come in 6 miles and then make another 6 miles to the bridge from Great Hills Harbor, but if you want to stay, this is a place to hang out, for a while.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the Great Hills Yacht Club and what the offer or offers to AGLCA members are?
Okay. Basically, we are pretty much a volunteer club. See, we are not commercial. We don't have an office to take calls and make reservations and whatever. That's why I'm in the middle of all of this stuff and my cell phone. So it's pretty much, as I say, a volunteer type of thing. And years ago, when I had the thought that this would be a good place for people if they wanted to stay, and I put it to the membership. Don't volunteer for anything, but I volunteered and I'm the guy. It's the club itself is a very nice facility. We have about 90 slips, and in the spring and in the fall, why we're able to do this, so many of our members are how would I say this? Not long range boaters or anything like that. They put their boat in the water sometime maybe by July, and they take it out after Labor Day. So there are slips usually available, and we do have a floating dock, a floating T head, which will handle up to 100 feet. So we put a couple of boats on that normally. We do have our facility as a bar. We don't offer food, but it's a very, and showers and heads and whatever. And it's, as I say, it's safe and it's secure. It's a one block walk to the public transportation, but within a quarter mile, we have three excellent restaurants right along Mansion Avenue that it's located on. Within a mile, there must be, now we're up to the requisite number of pizza parlors and delis. And, Italian, one of the favorite places that I send people is called Luigi's Dolceria. Italian pastries that, that they die for. So supermarket where you can get fresh produce and stuff like that. So it's the kind of, when I was cruising, this is the kind of place to, I'm going to stop and I'm going to stop for a few days. This is the time to catch my breath and to replenish and do whatever I want to do, especially if I've been anchoring out a lot coming up the ways, if someone's coming up the Jersey Intracoastal, I'm guessing they're dropping the hook in either Atlantic City and then maybe again in Manasquan or wherever. But Great Hills Yacht Club, as I say, offers friendliness and you know, and camaraderie and people, you know, there's no shortage of people who want to come up and hear the stories from the loopers. They want to talk on it. And our bar, you know, is open to transient. It's not open to the general public, but to a visiting club member, it's always open. It is kind of expensive. We do have $2 scotches and $1 pints of beer and, you know, stuff like that. So
I'm on my way.
You're on your way. Yeah. One of the things that I, you know, I don't send, but I advise most people, one restaurant that within one of those short restaurants, short walk restaurants, always has a price fix for $21.95, an appetizer, an entree, a dessert, and a bottle of wine for $21.95. So,
anyway.
As opposed to what you'd spend, you know, you're going to buy something in Manhattan or even on the other side, I guess, even in Weehawken, I guess. They're not exactly cheap anymore either.
Well, I know I mentioned this before, but anybody I've ever spoken with that stayed at Great Kills Yacht Club comments on how friendly and how much fun they have with all the members there. So I think that's maybe feedback you want to give to your members.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this is my next time to plug call-ins. So anybody that's listening live to this, pardon me, if you'd like to ask John some questions, call 877-497-1815 to hear from you. John, I know you said before your tee heads can take up to 100 footers. Is there any other what restrictions are there for size or power or depth?
No, anybody with straight 50s, they have to have a smart cord. You know, we can get 230s. You know, we don't have any 50-amp receptacles out of the end, so those who require 50-amp, you know, they usually have the smart cord. But we've never had, but there's plenty of power to handle that. And the water is New York City water, which you know, Steve,
pretty good,
is the best water in the world. taste-wise, you fill up your tanks, into that. There are no real restrictions. The one restriction that we do have, well, not restriction, but where we qualify, is that those coming through must have some membership in a recognized yacht club. And so many who are members of the MTOA, even if they don't have a yacht club in there, that they belong to in their home port, but they did join MTOA, which is a recognized yacht club. And that is more a question of our charter and our ability to function as a not-for-profit, as a private organization. You know, so it's not a discrimination against a non yacht club member, but I'm sure most coming through can find something in their background where they belong to a yacht club or that type of organization.
Okay, good. Are there alternatives to Great Kills in your harbor?
Oh yeah. There aren't a lot of the commercial yards. There are four or five of them in there. They are rather expensive. But we do have a sister yacht club, Richmond County Yacht Club, which doesn't have much dock space, but they do have moorings in the harbor. And Great Kills Harbor, by the way, is a very big, safe, secluded harbor. And there are hundreds of mooring balls out there. And Richmond County maintains a launch service. And I believe their fee is about $35 a night for a night on the mooring, which includes the lawn service in and out. And then they would have basically the same type of, once you walk in, Richmond County is only a block down from us. So they would have the same ability to walk up to the bus or, you know, and get into the city or do this, that, or the other, or get to the restaurants. It also, as I said, Great Kills Harbor is a very safe anchorage, and towards the back of the harbor, once you get kind of on the perimeter of the mooring field, you have 25 feet of water almost up to a bulkhead where so many transients, you know, drop the hook, and it's good holding. It's clear, okay, the closed end of the harbor, so in all but the worst kind of a blow from the southwest, there's no problem there. I have also, you know, for those who really have a problem, or when we have had an overflow where we couldn't provide a berth, I have a personal mooring in the harbor with a 600-pound mushroom on it, and I've made that available to people. You know, just if you want to hang on there for a day or 2 days, you know, be my guest. And then you could take a dinghy into our dinghy dock, you know, and get off and use the facilities that way. And that I think they charge $5 a day at the dinghy dock.
So then, when you leave Great Kills, you're going to turn left and go into New York Harbor. And I know a lot of people are intimidated by even the thought of going to New York Harbor. And can you talk about that? Maybe alleviate some of that concern?
Well, a little bit of caution is a good thing. I would think that anyone who is going to enter, and once they get underneath the bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, and enter the harbor, they're going to say, oh boy, any manner of large canoe, we're back to the container ships or tugs with barges, tankers. Most of them you're going to see are an anchor awaiting a turnaround or, you know, something like that. But you kind of weave your way through it. But New York Harbor is so big, is that there's room to kind of stay out of the way. I would worry about debris or keep a sharp eye out for debris, depending on things. If you have a thunderstorm like we had last night, you know, some of that stuff can wash down from the Hudson, and it can make for an unpleasant side trip when you have to replace a wheel or a shaft. But again, you know, most of the stories that I think people have or in their head or are the same stereotypes that you may have about New York City as a whole. It's a lot. It is not as bad as people make it out to be. There are, you know, attention to the chart and looking and saying, okay, I'm up to the Brooklyn side or I'm up to the New York side. I'm well out of the main ship channel, and I still have 50 or 60 feet of water. So, you know, there's not too much to worry about that way in New York City. When you start getting around past the bridge and you start making your way towards the Governor's Island and the lower part of Manhattan, now you do get some of the crazies with those little fast ferries that make their way across from Jersey, from Weehawken and whatever, and it's almost like they want to play chicky with you. That they do kind of, but if you maintain the rules of the road, they know enough that they're going to, if they have to come around you, they'll come around you. If you've boated in New York Harbor, you can boat in pretty much any harbor, anywhere. I used to hear stories about Baltimore or some of the others, and when I pulled in there, I says, wow. That's not like, you know, it's a piece of cake compared to New York. But it is. If you watch and you know what you're doing and you say, hey, look, I don't have to be in that main channel. There's no reason for me to be dead center. I could hang alongside a red or hang alongside a green, and I'm going to make my way through there and just stay out of the way of the big guys.
One of the comments I always make when people start talking about that is, you know, even if you get outside the channel and hang along one side or the other, one place you know those guys are not going is outside the channel.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that's a perfectly legitimate way to go about it.
Yeah. Of course, when you start crossing, when you cross Governor's Island and you come towards the Battery, towards Battery Park, and you do Murphy's Law, Steve, does come into effect, right? You know, when you when you get down to the lower tip of Manhattan, that's got to be the time that one of the Staten Island ferries decides he's going to come out of the battery and and he's going to come right across at you. But again, they're so well marked that you can get out of get out of the way. As long as your head isn't on a pinwheel, you're not spinning your head around and looking at everything. But the captain is always the guy who doesn't get to see the sights. Anything, everybody else gets to see him, but the captain keeps his eye on the water, right?
Yep. Okay. Anything else that we haven't talked about with New York Harbor that people ought to know?
I don't think so. I think that that's pretty much, it's a night level, it's an experience, obviously. Once you've done that, you can say, wow. And I a lot of people ask me about that anchorage at the Statue of Liberty, and that's one of the things I stay away from because someone makes a trip behind the Statue of Liberty. I found some rocks back there sometimes.
it's
a matter. So someone asked me the other day, can I make a run all the way around it? I said, not by me. Well, Joe Blow did it. Well, that's good, Joe, but you're
going to
find one. So I stay away from that kind of advice in terms of what to do there.
And then this is kind of the last thing, but can you give folks some tips on heading up the Hudson from New York Harbor?
Yeah. I've been boating for 50 years, and I've been up and down this Hudson, I'm going to say, countless dozens of times. That used to be our vacation to go 2 weeks. I'd load my wife and the kids into the boats, and we'd make our way up the Hudson, sometimes to Champlain, or, if we'd never got that far, somewhere else. The first thing to think about in getting up or making your start up there is pay attention to the tide, the current. You can have almost a 2-knot current against you on the Hudson going up it. And one of the rules of thumb is down at the Battery at the very lower part of Manhattan is the maximum ebb down there is 2 hours past low tide. So some people think, okay, low tide, I'm going to start up. Well, you've got another 2 hours of stuff running down at you. So pay attention, look at your current charts, and make your way up and go with the current. I always preferred stopping in marinas going up the Hudson. I talk to a lot of loopers and say, well, they want to anchor someplace. There's so many nice places along the Hudson to see, to pull into. I mean, whether it's Havistraw or Half Moon Bay across from Havistraw or Kingston, you pull into Kingston, you can stay there a few days. I believe Kingston is one of your sponsors now, too.
Yep.
The town docks. There's a town of Kingston. You can, get a car and go up. And if you heard about Woodstock or something else like that, you can do that. Saugerties is another town that you can do that. Catskill is a wonderful, nice place to stop. There's so many, along the way that, you've got other things to see. And as you know, I'm sure, Steve, going up that Hudson, it's one of the most beautiful river
yep.
trips as far as scenery that that someone's going to see along the along that loop.
Okay, great. Thanks, John.
Okay.
I think that's pretty much our half hour for today. I'm going to do my usual close the show down with a plug for membership in AGLCA. If you've been listening to this and you're not a member and would like to become a member, if you go to www.greatloop.org, on the left-hand side of the screen, there's a tab that says Join AGLCA Today. We'd love to have you as a member. And thank you, everyone, for being present. John, especially, it was a great talk. I think people that listen to this are going to learn a lot. And Janice, what's our program for next week?
Now, you usually forget to ask me, and you remember today, and we don't have one yet. We are not sure. I have a patient app and have not heard back, so discussion forum as soon as we have something booked.
Now, well, I'm all talked out, so don't look this way.
So what's the odds? I knew there was nothing scheduled, and I just did that to sandbag you.
Thanks, dear. Thank you so much, John. It was very interesting.
Thanks, John.
Okay,
thanks,
guys.
Everybody else.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.